Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Have you ever thought about making a podcast of your own? Maybe a discussion with your closest friend about the ups and downs of a global pandemic, or the adventures of a group of voice actors facing epic enemies in an original world full of... You know what? That one's taken. Yeah, don't do that one. Anyways, let me introduce you to Anchor, the easiest way to get going in this ever-expanding world of podcast entertainment. Their simple and comprehensive creation tool allows podcasters of all levels to record and edit their own audio right from your phone or computer. And once your podcast is completed, Anchor will distribute it to be heard by millions of listeners across many platforms like Spotify and Apple Podcasts. It's literally everything you need to get going at your fingertips, and it's all free. Head over to the App Store and download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started and learn more. That's Anchor in the App Store or Anchor FM in the browser. And now let's get on with this podcast.
Good day, critters. I am Travis Willingham, voice of Grog Strongjaw and executive producer on The Legend of Vox Machina, our animated series made with our friends at Titmouse and Amazon Studios. New episodes of The Legend of Vox Machina are releasing every Friday at 12 a.m. Pacific on Prime Video. And to celebrate, every Tuesday in February, we are hosting special watch parties of the freshly released episodes over at twitch.tv/Critical Role. Join us live as members of the LVM cast and crew react to the show and answer burning questions moderated by our good friend, Mika Burton. Make sure you have a Prime Video account ready to go so that you can watch along with us. And in between these special events, you can keep Vox Machina by your side with The Legend of Vox Machina official soundtrack, available now on iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify, and other music distribution services. We hope you enjoy The Legend of Vox Machina. We certainly enjoyed making it. And who knows, with your support, this may be just the first of our animated adventures.
You're listening to Vox Machina on the Critical Role Podcast Network. Vox Machina airs on Critical Role's Twitch channel every other Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific. Episodes are available on Critical Role's YouTube channel the following Thursday and right here on the Critical Role Podcast Network 1 week later. If you enjoy this episode, please consider supporting by rating and reviewing this podcast on iTunes, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Without further ado, let's dive in to this episode of Vox Machina.
Hey!
There you go, buddy.
We have to start the show.
Are we on the internet?
Yeah!
Danny!
Can we start over? I'm so confused.
Wow.
Oh, God.
Cool. So dramatic.
Oh, God. Brian. What is happening? This is worse than the last time.
No. Hold on. Are we on the internet?
Whoa. Yes. It's our final show of 2020.
Hey!
Oh, God.
What?
Oh,
okay.
Boy.
I'm so glad you clarified that, because when you said final show, I thought you meant this was going to be our final show. It scared me for a second there.
Well, I mean, it could be our final show. It really just depends on how just awful your jokes are.
Yeah.
My jokes? Yeah. How is so much riding on my jokes? Okay.
It's all writing on your jokes.
There's no way, ladies. Here, I've got one for you. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Okay. A naked horse walks into an opium den.
Nope. No.
A naked horse walks into an opium den? Who?
No. Intro. Intro time.
Overruled by Danny. Tonight, the Mighty Nine pursue a former friend. Explore the scattered ruins of a lost megaocracy and take some romantic steps forward. We're going to break it all down with my guests. Video Game Award. I'm getting to it.
Hey,
Video Game Awards nominated Ashley Johnson and Video Games Award nominated Laura Bailey.
Hey.
What? The winner decided tonight live on the program and more.
Program?
That's not true legally. They just said I have to say it on Tox Machina. We're back. We're back. We are going out with a bang, needless to say, 2020. This episode, you know, no amount of editing could ever piece
Fix
together
this.
Humpty Dumpty already. But it's ladies' night on Tox Machina, which is...
It's ladies' night. Oh, what
one
a
of
night.
My favorites.
And the We're feeling's only- right. I don't know the rest of the words.
I don't know if we're allowed to sing much more than a few bars before
sure.
we get.
Okay, okay.
You know.
Okay, so that's perfect then.
DMCA, it's all over Twitch. DMCA. I can't. Anyway.
Probably have to get out.
Folks, no, it's fine. I didn't, you know, believe it or not.
Is it this way? Try to make a D.
Yeah.
Do it again. Everyone make a D. Danny, you too, because your name is a...
Yes, D for Danny. You got to curve it. You got to...
I'm great at this.
Oh,
look at this beautiful blue hair, by the way.
Yes.
Oh, Danny, you look
this
so
luscious.
Oh, thank
yeah.
you.
When this happened since our last taping of the show.
Oh, yes. I did it yeah. for funsies.
You just did it at home yourself?
Yeah, I bleached the ends of my hair, and then I added
you
overtone.
Did?
Yeah.
I've always been so scared to do it.
It was terrifying. That's why it only goes up to here. It's only oh like a little
Like
bit.
I can cut it off if it's bad.
Exactly.
With your eyes, if your whole head was blue.
I want it to be. That's like the eventual goal.
Mind galaxies.
Goal. It's the eventual goal, but we're not there yet. Because
I tried to dye
a little bit.
Yeah. I tried to dye my hair at home. Ash remembers this, but... Came out looking like Joe Dirt, which was weird because I had a shaved head at the time.
Wait, you tried
Believe
to dye
not.
Your hair with a shaved head?
We're moving on, Danny. There's no time for questions. I ask the questions on this program.
Okay.
Program.
Every program. Once in a while, I will not have any criticism of the way that I speak. As everyone knows,
oh.
I was raised, you know, learning the Queen's English. So happened it was the Queen of Bakersfield. She spoke
I was
going to
say,
different.
Hella is definitely in the Queen's English.
Hella. You know, Hella's going to be around for a long time.
Tight, yeah,
tight,
definitely
tight.
Queen's English.
All these are belong on a friendship bracelet. You know what I mean? Laura, why haven't we started selling friendship bracelets?
Brian, why haven't we gotten to the freaking announcements?
Tonight's episode, every once in a while... Every once in a while, a soul or a group of souls emerges from the Underdark and finds themselves so brave, they want to sponsor this program. Tonight, those folks are our friends at Square Enix.
Yay!
Woo-hoo! Show is literally sponsored. Now, this isn't some random company you've never heard of who will commission an oil painting of you as a three-year-old if you wanted them to. This is Square Enix. And they are sponsoring the show because they have a new free-to-play classic JRPG that's now a mobile game. It's called Romancing Saga.
Romancing
Ooh.
Saga.
Re-universe.
Ukatoa.
Well, no. Ukatoa is not in this game. That would be a,
oh, sorry.
A sort of a copyright crossover that I haven't checked. Let me check the documents here. Uncleared, it says. Now... Romancing Saga, Re-Universe, is rooted in the Saga RPG series, those of you who are familiar. The game features an epic story which you guide along using strategy, wits, and planning. If you play D&D, You're fucking used to all that shit. Am I supposed to curse? Am I allowed to curse during the...
Like, probably not.
It's friendly for both. It's friendly for both casual players looking to level up, like Laura's character and Ashley's character, and hardcore players.
Danny's been playing Dragon Age for 2 years without sleeping.
Looking to test their strategy and party formations. Now, the game's creator, none other than the legendary Akitoshi Kawazu, I mean, I'm holding for applause, is a massive RPG and D&D fan and points to that love as a big influence for this and most of his other games, which is why they would sponsor a program like this, because it's a complete genre melting to celebrate. Oh, fuck, my microphone. I'm so excited, you guys. Holy shit.
What a great sponsorship announcement.
Hold your applause till the end and the compliments as well.
Oh, please. I will hold my applause. More.
I will I'm let waiting. You flood me with... To celebrate the half anniversary of the game's global release. Now, that means it's been half... the time since the game came out. Mm-hmm. In the scope of all time, half of time has passed. From now until December 30th, users can get a total of 6,000 joules for free just by logging in. Do you know how many joules?
Is that a lot of joules? That sounds like a lot of joules.
It's a fuck ton of joules. Are you joking? 6,000 joules? That's like... trips to Renfair for Travis. You know, the jewels were rare coins, it'd be like four, maybe three and a half trips to... Ashley, did you have a question?
What kind of jewels?
Also be adding, I don't have the answers to this, but maybe the link I'm about to get to will have some of them. The jewels, all I know is there's 6,000 of them. So that's a fuck ton.
Like a smoking jewel? That doesn't seem...
I hope
it's a
smoking
jewel. All right, I'll let you finish
this. No, you're fine. You're fine. I actually would like some clarification on... Let me find out if it's a smoking jewel. Bullock says... he's nodding, but I don't know if I can trust it. 6,000 jewels just for logging in. Now, they will also be adding a whole bunch of new content as well, like styles, rewards, and missions. I went on a mission. Go check it out now in the App Store or Google Play. We're familiar with those. One of them is Apple, one of them is Android. You either are, you know, one of those people or one of those people. Or just head over to bit.ly. Should I take the chair all the way around? / Romancing Saga.
Well, maybe that's all the time glitter we have for today, folks.
Yep. Thank
that
you
was a great
to Square
episode
Enix
of Stocks Machina
for supporting the show. All right. Wow, that was really impressive.
Took us a minute to get there.
No, it didn't. Took me a minute to get there. we begin tonight's program the way we begin every program. With a question for Emmy-nominated star of Damages, Glenn Close. Glenn? I'm being told Glenn is not available.
Yes!
I'm being told either Glenn has laryngitis or she's... Nope, that's... Okay. All right. This question, to kick things up.
Henry.
We're covering...
You come here right now.
Who's barking? It's not near me. It's
Henry.
Near you. It's Henry.
It's Henry.
Well, I have the treats up here. That's what he's barking at.
Sir...
All right, for both of you, we are covering several episodes tonight because we have not been on the air for a little while. There's been holidays. There's been all kinds of stuff going on. So we're going to dive into the deep end right away. How are Jester and Yasha handling Lucien's reveal that number one, Molly's gone, and number two, he doesn't recognize them at all? Do they... totally believe their friend is gone for good? How, what's, where
Ooh, it's tough. It's tough. It's weird because I'm trying to figure out what Matt is doing, and also just like, is it? Can he come back? Is he still in there? Like, I have hope, of course, but it's
did
just
that tiny part of Lucien or whatever he's saying, that like shard that was Molly, did that actually pass away, and all that's left that is gone? Lucien, or I don't know. I thought it was really. But like, I definitely don't feel the same way about it as like when Yasha was being controlled by Oban by the Scotch, because it just feels it doesn't feel like something else is controlling him. It feels like this is who he is, you know.
Henry.
I thought it was really cool, Ashley, how when you talked to him, though, you only addressed him as Molly. Like, you were talking to Molly. Like, it felt like you're going to find that little sliver and it's going to come out because
I'll find it.
Yeah.
I was trying. I was like, if there's a little bit of you in there, maybe you'll remember and maybe you'll come back. And if we can talk to that part of you and maybe that's still in there, maybe you'll come back. But I don't even know we don't know what he is yet. We don't know what he wants, what he's going to do.
Well, Ash, is that why?
He sounded like, sorry.
No. Go, Laura, go.
He sounded like soft when I asked him. I'm like, we just want to be a friend. We just miss you over the sending. And he was like, I don't mean you any harm. You know, just come in and talk to me. And we did, and he didn't attack us. So it was like, but then, I don't know, it's so hard.
Oh, man. I was, that was so edge of your seat moment for me, because I really did not know how Matt was going to play that at all, and how everything from, well, that kind of leads into my next question, Ash, is like, why did Yasha give him the four-leaf clover? Was it, like you were saying, an attempt to reach some part of Molly that might still be there? And was she surprised that he accepted it?
Yes. So I think that was definitely an attempt to try to talk to that little piece of him that might still be in there, of something that was a moment between the two of us, Molly and Yasha, that was beautiful and wonderful and a great memory. And I was surprised that he took it. So I think for me, I feel a little bit of confusion, because I'm like, well, you got to be in there somewhere if you know, because he paused and he
yep.
It's confusing.
I know.
But that was definitely an attempt to try to find Molly and, you know, try to bring him back a little bit.
Oh, I want him so bad to just come back.
Me too.
I mean, I feel like we found the good in so many of the people that were maybe going to be bad.
Yeah.
Maybe going to be like potentially enemies, like him, like Essek, who's, you know, he's like, oh, but he's.
Mm-hmm,
he's a precious cinnamon bun, but he's also probably pretty terrible. He could do some terrible things. He could have been an enemy.
Yetis, you know.
The Yetis.
Oh, man, well, those Yetis.
I don't want to metagame from outside the game, but it seems really clear to me that one way to tell whether or not Molly is in there or not is if Matt starts to sort of, you know, if the Irish accent starts to get real shitty.
I knew you were going to go there.
No, you didn't.
I knew you were going to do that.
Oh, no. Okay, there we go.
The joke was so bad. The camera was like, no.
Damn it, Laura. I can't get anything past you. I wish your dumb husband was on the show instead. I'm glad you got the thing I left on your doorstep earlier. I was, cheers. Hey, cheers. Ash, do you have yours?
Hey, cheers.
Thank you to Alex, Henry, and Tyler, our friends, for sending us cocktails that we can enjoy during Talks Machina that were made by our friends from New York.
Made and sent from amazing bars from Brooklyn.
Yep.
Danny, we have one for you. We just didn't get to drive it
over. We didn't get a chance to drop it off. Well, I went to I should have texted Travis and told him I was coming because I got about 50 yards from the house to leave this on the porch and I started getting the red dots all over my
Yeah, shirt. We have pretty hardcore security here. So.
Well, and then, you know, as they say, I'm a little bit dodgy of a looking fellow here. Laura, once again, Jester is faced with scrying on a friend and seeing them act out of character. So while this is super different from Yasha's situation, what was it like for her to scry on Lucien and know he's looking back at her or to have him cast sending to her instead?
It's weird. Mm. It's made me far more hesitant to scry on him because I don't know the full extent of his ability. I don't know if I scry on him, if he's going to be able to see. I should really try it, though, now that Ford's given me the necklace. I don't know if, like, if I have the necklace, if it's going to block him from being able to see that I'm scrying on him.
Mm.
I don't know. But I think he's got, like, you know, true sight or whatever that is that would cause him to be able to see the orb, the scrying orb in front of him. So I don't know.
Every time but Ford checks it. For the... Yeah. Every and time...
Like, go ahead. Yeah. Sorry. It's just weird that, like, he could, like, connect with me... Because I scryed on him. Mm-hmm. That's weird.
Mm-hmm. Every time Ford checks for the orbs or whatever, I'm like, oh, thank God. Oh, thank God. Someone's watching. Someone has to be watching. Someone has to be listening to this. Like, there's no... These conversations are so crucial to the, you know, end game or whatever. You know, don't sue me.
Yeah.
Disney, but yeah. Ashley.
Yes, that's me.
Danny's trying to find. She keeps trying to find the power cord to pull.
No,
the plug
listen. I think we're. I'm having some crunchy sound issues.
Oh,
you are.
I sure am. I think it might be my headphones.
You don't sound crunchy to me.
I think it's my headphones.
Oh, you're hearing crunchiness.
I'm hearing crunchiness.
Oh,
yeah. I think it's these headphones. But listen, guys.
Do you want to wait? Do you want to get different headphones?
I don't think I have any. Do we have another set?
I have an extra.
Yeah,
I have an extra.
Yeah, we do. Right here.
Here.
We do.
Do you
right here.
Let me
yeah.
let me grab this other set. Sorry.
Okay, right. Brian, no, you just ask me questions while Ashley is getting headphones.
What's weird, Laura, is that was all the questions I had for you tonight. I'm not really sure. You know, Jester's had a very quiet last few episodes of the show.
She really has.
I'm a little unimpressed with her. You know, thankfully.
My choices.
Thankfully, Caduceus is there to save the day. But,
you know what, though? I have had, you know, in that fight, I don't know if you're going to ask a question about it. You're not paying attention to me.
I got
when
lipstick
we
on,
were
sorry.
In that fight with...
Talk to me.
When we were in that fight with the ice things and Caduceus was going down, mm-hmm. I had a major heal prepared for Caduceus.
What
it's
was
just
it?
That... Heal like 70 points of health.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
gonna like bamf okay. him back.
Yeah.
But then Ford him. So it was fine.
It but ended up okay, it. but you're taking credit for kind of a lot of stuff. If
I'm just saying I have had some healing prepared. Not all the healing, but I have had some healing.
Right. But it's sort of it's kind of like me saying at the end of talks, texting you after the show and saying, I had a lot of really good jokes tonight that I didn't say. But just yeah. so you know, I had them all
they
lined
were
there. Up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing, honestly.
No, I let them all out. Laura, let's talk to you while Ashley plugs in.
Dang it, it's still crunchy.
No.
What?
Boo.
How crunchy is it on a scale for, let's talk peanut butter levels.
Okay, so you guys sound like you are robots.
Oh, shit. Okay, hold on. I'm coming to save the day.
Pause for technical difficulties.
Pause for... Put on the screen. Put on the screen, little Max.
Hey.
Wow. Hey, I can hear you.
Wow, ta-da. Laura.
Ta-da.
Laura, that was such a profound answer. I'm sorry. I needed a minute to really yeah. sort of just let it sink in. You know what I mean?
Let it like, minister.
Sort of, yeah, that happens a lot.
Say. Yeah.
Goodness. Me. Ashley.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I can. What a weird way to say that.
We are going out of this year with a bang.
With a bang. You know what? This is the most 2020 episode. Come on.
Oh, okay. It's God, so it representative. Accurate. Technical difficulties, the like death of all it. Dreams, no relevant information being given out. No,
we're three
Ashley.
Questions in. All right, there's going to be relevant information.
Yes, yes. Come on.
We've got time for one or two more. Ashley, I am interested to know how creepy is that Tomb Taker hive mind? Is it upsetting for Yasha to see her best friend behaving in ways that are almost reminiscent of Oban or Oban, as Laura pronounces it? Yeah. With controlling his party members, etc. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I actually didn't think about that correlation in the moment of now Molly or Lucien is doing the thing that Yasha hates. But yeah, of course it's creepy. I mean, it's such a cool game dynamic that they're all sort of just working together and they can all sort of talk and do things at the same time. It just makes things extra creepy. But yeah, it's weird. And I think it does feel a little different than Oban because they're all sort of, I don't know.
It feels like they're there willingly.
Yes, that's the difference. It feels like they're doing it willingly.
It does,
But it is hard to sort of see, of course, a very good friend of hers doing something that she doesn't like.
When did you put the Oban connection together, if you didn't in the moment? Was it on the drive home? Was it in the Taco Bell drive-thru?
It was here, in this moment.
Reading
that question, yes. Of just like, oh yeah, that's right. Maybe that's what, I mean, there was so much weirdness in the moment. I think all of us were feeling that and just like, what's going on? What is he going to be like? You know, there was a lot going on. That was stressful. We walked up on him and we were like, hey, bud, are you? Were we good?
Yep. Oh, man. Laura, I want to talk about the tarot cards.
Oh, the tarot cards. Yes.
Yes. How much stock does Jester put in the tarot cards when she pulls them? Because she's defended them before from Beau. And likes to use them when she's feeling lost? Or does she just like their connection to Molly? How does that all fit together?
Jester thinks that the tarot cards know all. Yeah, I feel like she wants to buy into it like real hard. So when she pulls a card, it means something.
It's the truth.
Yeah.
It's the truth. Fucking truth. If it doesn't make sense now, it will later. It will be revealed.
I love that.
Ugh, it's never worked for this show, has it, Danny?
Do you guys do tarot card readings on this show?
Tarot cards are so, and you guys, like, we haven't talked about all of them in the game, but like, the cards that Taliesin, you know, created for that deck are really fucking cool.
And they're intricate.
Like, and I have, he sent me his list that Molly had done. And so I have all of them and what their descriptions are. And then I have the cards that I've added onto it. Yeah.
Can we expect Can we expect maybe like a super soft robe with all of the cards on it, maybe in the future? The robe seems to be very popular.
The robe is so comfy cozy. There will be more of the Gilmore robe if it's already sold out. I don't know, but we're thinking about stuff with the tarot cards. So don't you worry.
Oh, don't
I can't
you.
Wait.
I probably shouldn't have said that, but I'm saying it.
I wasn't allowed to do tarot cards as a kid.
No, me neither.
But I had an idiot's guide to tarot card reading.
Wait, where you went to someone who said, you're an idiot, let me teach you how to...
No, you the books. The Idiot's
you
Guide
got the
to...
Books.
Oh,
yeah.
The
I got the
books.
Idiot's Guide to Tarot Card Reading.
Yeah.
I have some sets of them because that was me once I got older and I was like, I'm buying my own set of tarot cards. But I haven't opened them or done anything because I
They're so pretty.
They're really pretty. They're really pretty.
First set of tarot cards I ever bought was a King of the Hill set that I got. Spencer Gifts. You guys remember Spencer Gifts?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's still, isn't it still around in some places?
Malls are canceled.
Really?
Yeah. Malls, they got canceled right after.
That's not true. Billie Eilish just made a video of her running around a mall. So malls
are still around. Well, she bought the mall and filmed the video in it. Billie Eilish is, you know, if Sam had her money, he'd burn his. That's how rich Billie Eilish is. Both of you, a question that Danny's been dying to know. How has it been exploring these strange sci-fi ruins of Eeyore? Even with the experience in the Happy Fun Ball, Eeyore is still so different from anything they've seen. So how's it been?
Weird. So cool. Yeah. Is Eeyore, like, it's so, was it just so far advanced from the world that we're in now?
That's what I want.
And that's
know.
Why it feels like it does?
It's
or
like
is it like an alien
Atlantis.
Sort of thing that's land? I don't know. So
Mageocracy. It's pronounced Mageocracy, Brian.
Mageocracy.
What did you say?
How did you, what did you say again?
What did I say? Magocracy, I don't remember the. Oh,
no.
Never in a million.
That's
Danny,
terrible.
I think
that's
you
awful.
Did. I think you did.
Who would celebrate the end of such a thing?
Mageocracy.
No, that intro was 45 minutes ago. I don't even remember. Let these wonderful women answer the question.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that place.
I
but
just
creepy
wanna...
giant baby with arms oh. around its mouth was. Scary as
all
balls.
All the contraceptive yeah. anyone needs, right?
I love it, though. I love everything that he set up. I just because I love sci-fi also so much, too. Yeah. So I'm like, woo. And I wasn't there for Happy Fun Ball times. So
oh
this
gosh.
Is kind of
that's
like
right.
You know, in a lot of those episodes I missed, and there's so many episodes in between that I just never was able to get caught up on. So
oh my gosh.
I know. So I'm
recap. But that makes sense because Yasha wouldn't yes. know that stuff anyway.
Yes. So, you know, there's
that's true.
I feel like I'm getting a little glimpse into Happy Fun Ball.
Oh,
even though
man.
I didn't get to go. Because I remember that
go
I just
to Happy Fun Ball with Yasha.
Oh my god, I have to go. Because the bit the parts that I saw, I was like, this is I just love the stuff that Matt comes up with.
I know. I feel like
so
there
good.
Are some seriously epic maps coming up soon. Like,
yeah.
it makes me want to break into the map room just to get a like a peek at maybe what he's doing. You know what I mean?
Just, I know.
Ugh.
I know.
And we're
Do
not
you know
even
what?
To like Eeyore proper yet.
No, not yet.
No.
But,
God.
No. But once you get there, oh, I cannot wait. I can't
there's,
wait.
And I feel like there's a lot of stuff that I know already is going to bother me, like from the first campaign, the box that we never opened, like the, that
Sinecure's
big spider
wife.
That didn't move. Yes.
That's going to bug me forever.
It's going to bug me forever.
Yeah. Well,
I was like, was it a
frozen?
Statue?
Was it dead? Was there a treasure buried in the room?
I know.
We don't know.
There was probably a massive treasure underneath it or something.
If I was playing a video game, there's no way in hell I would have left that spider alone.
Same.
That's the fucking problem with live gaming where you're in person, you can't save your game and do stupid shit because you'll actually die. You can't.
Yes. Yes.
That's true.
Yes.
That's true.
Precisely.
So frustrating.
That and the people that were frozen that we couldn't sort of get them out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to sort of learn about what happened. Mm. You got frozen in this moment and we just couldn't wait.
And we'll never know. We'll
Can
never
get
know.
To it.
Did we? Can... Was that already?
Wait, what?
Huh?
Has that already happened? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Everything's happened.
This is what's hard about because there's everything's happened. We're talking about all of it.
We talk about everything that's happened on this program.
Okay, that's right. That's right.
We don't. There's no secrets except for secrets that you want to keep, unless
okay.
There is one secret that we have kept until now, Danny.
I think I know what the secret is.
Oh,
that's this week's cosplay of the week. And
Hello?
We're back. No one's gonna count me in. I'm just gonna fucking go.
It's not.
I'm too excited.
What are you getting counted in for,
buddy? I don't remember, Danny. It's been a while.
It's been a while.
This week's
been a while.
Winner We thought Chaos Zoom was Sam and Travis, but no, we've got a whole ladies' night.
No, no, no.
Neon sign.
And I feel all right.
A la pub draw, ladies' night. This week's winner for Cosplay of the Week was sent in by Harley Sampsel. Their Instagram is
give it
at Harland3R.
That's just confusing, Brian.
Shh, shh.
Oh, Cara Bischoff.
I've got it. Cara Bischoff was the photographer on Instagram at Caramel Photography. Let's take a look at their work.
Wings
are unbelievable.
The full Monty here. That's the so absolute gorgeous. Epicest. You could.
Oh, that look is at so the buddy.
Beautiful.
They did so good.
Oh, buddy,
did
such
months.
A good job.
Incredible.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Either the sunset is coming through the wings and the shield, or they have lights inside of them. Right?
I think they're lights.
I think they have lights in the fun buns too.
Oh my God.
Oh no. My goodness.
I want to see
shield.
It like a,
I think there's lots
yeah,
of shield.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to see like close-up pictures of this.
Can we talk about the boots too. For a second? Can we talk Ooh, about the boots, boots? Because that
boots
those
are
epic.
Just the whole yeah. thing.
The whole
oh,
thing.
Man.
Oh, they did such a good job.
Ooh, well, well.
Yeah, look
well,
at that Mason disruption.
I know.
Ooh.
Oh man, try
and they made all of this. They made all of it.
Really?
Try wow. Wheeling that around Ooh. At the Renaissance Fair, trying to take a turkey leg from some stupid
dude. But
kid.
I bet that's like armor made out of that like foam,
where it's light.
Yeah,
it's got to
yeah.
be because yeah. that yeah. must just be so heavy if you have, especially with the wings outstretched. Unless it was CGI.
It's crazy how much that foam that like that foam armor looks legit. It looks so real,
some
even
incredible.
Up close.
Yeah,
yeah, resin,
looks amazing.
Resin
stuff. I think that's what it would be. That's the only way I can imagine being able to walk around.
Either that or they're incredibly strong and can just handle all that stuff. I'm like, you know,
I mean,
when
Pike
I go
is
jogging
a tank,
with
so...
my little pink weights, I get.
Especially with those gauntlets. Baby.
Well, congrats to you, Harley. You have
congrats.
Won this. Now, check this out. I have an official envelope. Now, we already know the winner because their name is, you know, and the photographer's name is printed on the card. Mm-hmm. But you have won this. Let's see what it is.
Dun, 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 dun. Oh,
oh
nothing.
My God.
Nothing.
It's a $100 gift card to the Critical Role US shop.
Yay!
Poor just appeared events. Right before our eyes. Now, you can enter our bi-weekly contests by visiting critroll.com.
Critroll.com.
Submit. See, I put you to sleep and then I woke you back up. That's the power.
Oh, yeah.
Rules for our contest can be found at critroll.com. Moving up.
Oh. Let's get back around.
Moving on.
He's quickly. Rolling away.
I got you.
Oh, no.
We're good. Oh. A question for both of you.
Okay.
Do you want to come say hi, T-Rex?
No. Yeah.
Yes. You come,
come in
say
and say hi,
big boy.
Pull your
give me your T-Bone.
Say hi, big boy. You pull that.
There's a big boy.
Down. Who's
he's
the
dancing like
boy?
A T-Rex.
Give
well,
me your T-Rex.
Spin the camera around and show us the unmentionables.
No, I can't.
Oh. Wait, is it Ronan?
He's gone now. No, it's Travis.
Oh.
He was dancing like
oh,
a T-Rex.
Well, no. Okay. Anyway, question for both of you. Sorry. I thought it was Ronan. I got all excited.
No, Ronan's sleeping.
Oh, of course. It's 2 in the morning here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Both of you. Jester urged Yasha to pursue Bo to the point of helping her pen a poem for her crush. Okay. This is the level mm-hmm. we're at. Mm-hmm. How does Yasha feel about the push, and why was it important to Jester to play Wing Woman in this situation?
Okay, well, for me, yes, it was important for many reasons because I, too, like Travis, never thought I would be the romance guy in D&D.
Hey. Okay.
So I think there, since this has like started to happen with Bo and there was, you know, many specific moments. And obviously from the beginning, we were like flirtatious with each other. But I was like, I don't know. I'm too nervous to role play that. Because it's weird with your friends to be all like, let me like romance you now, you know? So it's like, but as it's progressed, it's felt, I don't know, like a natural progression for these two characters. At least in my opinion. I'm getting all nervous talking about it.
That's great.
But no, I think I was just nervous. And I think, you know, it was helpful to have Jester be like, hey, come on, you got to go do this thing. You got to get out there. It's time, you know, and also
push out of the nest a little bit to fly.
Yeah. Way, you know? Yeah. And Yasha's grown a lot. She's been through a lot. And I think she's in a much more positive place and is ready for love. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
Goodness gracious. Oh boy.
That's so sweet.
I'm starting to wish we had been able to drop that cocktail over at Danny's house.
I know.
Danny's like, I love looking at Danny's face.
I'm watching your D&D game respectfully.
Yep. Laura, talk to us.
I just, you know, Jester from the get-go has just seen Yasha as like this wonderful soul. I think that she just saw like Yasha's heart from the very beginning and has seen how like sad Yasha's been through everything, and to see the difference that she exhibits when she's talking about Bo is just so, you know, drastic and wonderful. And so like I've always said, Jester's whole, you know, her joy in life is helping other people find joy. So,
Beau.
Yeah, she wanted to be able to, and you know, I know that Beau has feelings for Yasha too. So of course I'm going to want to push that along and help them both and make it happen.
It's Jester style.
It's so great. People. It is Jester style.
Jester style.
And Laura Bailey, because it's so fun doing just little moments and then going along for the ride. Like with Laura, it's so fun to yes and with her. Because you feel like a little kid just being like dragged, you know, and you're like, all right, here we go. Let's see what happens.
You have no idea where it's going, but you know it's going to be fun along the way.
Yes. So you're just with Jester / Laura, you're just like, yes. I'll say yes to everything and see what happens. I love it. Yeah.
I think Travis just opened up iTunes on this computer.
Travis.
Hold on. He's doing something and it opened up iTunes.
We are filming computer. Critical Role's flagship program.
We're filming.
Okay. It couldn't have been more clear to him that there's something going on. What's he trying to play? Is he trying to play a little like Christopher Cross?
I don't see him making a bath. But he did something.
Little Peter Frampton.
He's got a little Peter Frampton for his bubble bath, Travis. How cute.
Oh.
Ashley, I'm not going to let you get away this.
But it's driving me crazy that we haven't gotten to see Bo's, like, Bo hasn't talked to Yasha since the poem.
Well, that's what I was just going to talk about is the question? No, but I mean, you're not going to take credit for it, Laura. Jesus Christ.
It's mine. That's my question.
This is my show / sort of Danny's show. And you know, a certain percentage we will leave, it's the stocks of Talks Market. Anyways, but Ashley, Yasha gave Bo the poem, though replaced it with a letter that she wrote for her. What was it like for Yasha to write the letter? And how does she feel knowing Bo has it and she's essentially waiting for a response? Bo literally left her on red, as Danny would say.
Yes.
Like I would be
freaking out.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Hi. There's a combination of things happening where for me, Ashley, I'm like, okay, that's a lot. I'm really glad Marisha's not like, you know, jumping right in because I'm so nervous to be romance person. But I think, okay, reversing a little bit. Mm-hmm. When I was sitting down to try to write something out, just in case it came up in game of like, okay, on the off chance that I'm able to give Bo the poem, let me sit down and write something. And I was like, ah, nothing. This all seems so stupid. And then I was trying to write it. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to write something just from the heart and what she would want to say to Bo, but also not really committing just in case like Bo is like, you know, so she has a, she has an out of like, oh, I was just writing you that for like, you know, just being pals.
Friends.
But
it felt, you know, super just pally for sure.
I mean, ugh, yeah, that didn't, ugh, yeah. I don't know why I'm all getting all like nervous and hot.
Hey, love is love, baby.
Love is love. But yeah, I think she's nervous. You know, it's like you give somebody that and there's been so much going on to be distracted by and everything going on with Molly and Lucien. And it's like, yeah, it's definitely on the back of her mind though, of like, hey man, did I fuck it up? Maybe I shouldn't have given her that, you know, but all that will come up in the game and we'll see what happens.
Ah,
fuck.
Who knows? I mean, maybe Bo read it. You know, for all Yasha knows and is like, ooh, creeper.
Yeah. No.
At least we know, at least the meta of like Ashley knows that Bo was like,
ooh. Yes, yeah, I know.
Yeah. Right? I know. That's like comforting as like,
yeah. Yeah.
This is so funny. We're talking about a D&D game, but it is this real. It is that sort of like, it is. I mean, I've fallen in love with my fair share of,
fuck yes.
D&D characters. Tyrion Darrington being the first.
Even the last couple episodes with Jester and Ford.
We're talking about that too.
Okay. But okay. Yeah. Well, I won't want to jump into it until we get into that. But oh my God.
No, we do.
I mean, Danny and I texting each other where I was like, oh, I get shipping. I'm here live in this moment and I want this more than anything to happen. And I'm like, but wait, they're together in real life, but like I need Ford and Jester to be together.
Well, that's that's like, the thing. Ugh, on so this show, wonderful. We only talk about the canon shipping moments that actually happen.
Sure.
That's true, yes.
So Laura, the focus is now on you.
Oh.
After all this time, after all the flirtations, Ford finally confessed his feelings and kissed Jester in a moment. Almost as romantic as the preseason finale of The Bachelorette. This moment, Critical Role.
It was way
better.
Was
it so romantic? Because I was in the moment. I don't know. Was it so romantic?
It was.
It actually really was. And it was a long time coming. And I think the fact that the two of you were legally married in real life made it even more special by a tad bit. But what was that moment like for her? I mean, how's she feeling about his confession and the kiss itself? Talk to us,
darling. Oh, gosh. So, I mean,
goo.
Let her get it out,
been
Ash.
Such, it's been, oh, gosh. It's been such this weird thing. I feel like this is like all of a sudden we're like romance novels talking now.
and I love that it's all like the ladies and we're like, let's I know, talk romance.
But like, you know, early on in the campaign, Jester was very forward about how she felt about Ford and very obvious with her flirtation. And he shut it down. You know, it wasn't like, you know, he played along with it, but it was like, I'm not feeling that. It was pretty obvious. And then maybe she thought something was happening and he kissed her underwater and oh my gosh, is this happening? This is my first kiss ever. And then immediately after that, he went and slept with Avantika. So she was like, oh, I'm an idiot. He doesn't feel this way. This is pointless. And she intentionally like shut it down in her brain and pushed it aside. It was like, I'm not going to let myself think those things anymore because I'm only going to be hurt by those emotions. So she just like, as Jester, I haven't been thinking in terms of flirting or romance or doing any of that stuff. I've just been like, I'm here with my friends and I'm just going to be here with my buddies.
You're just focused on healing. I totally
healing,
get it.
Yeah. I just healing. Need to make, all the heals. I need to make everybody healthy. I don't know. And so, yeah, the last couple episodes and he was like flirting a little bit more, mm-hmm. obviously, but I still, it was like, does she realize it? Do I let myself go there? And then he just like, for that moment to happen, it felt like my little teenage heart again, you know, just like my first kiss sort of emotion of like, oh my God, the boy that I like actually likes me back.
Yep. Yep. You know, with the Ivantika thing, it's easy to look at that and be judgmental. But, you know, my granddaddy used to say he's a very wise guy. We've been gone. Ladies, let me get the goddamn truth out before you. It's not a joke. It's more of a profound. Anyway, he used to say.
Let's hear this gem.
He used to call me grandson. Grandson. Very literal cool. man as well. But he would say, grandson, you have to kiss a frog to find out if he becomes a prince. And it was obvious that Ivantika was not a prince. Ivantika was a wolf in sheep's clothing.
If you will.
But Ford essentially had to fuck that out of her, right? Is that what we're saying? Danny, I'm interpreting some of your notes here that I'm looking at, I'm not trying to I'm shift sure any blame.
I would like to down. Make it very clear that he has gone completely... This is, I have nothing to do with any of this.
I trust you.
I believe you, Danny.
Ashley.
I fully believe you.
What? Ashley,
speaking of boning, does Yasha have any instrument plans for the bone she got from the scary baby creature?
Wow, what a segue.
You wanted some bones from the... King of segues, I have two. Or does she just want to add some accessories to her bone harp, which we have a very, by the way, in just meters for our friends in the UK from where Ashley is now, sits a beautiful bone harp that a fan made and sent in for
God.
You, actually. It was like, I love
wish
it.
We could say her name right now. Who made that?
Say her name.
I can't remember their name.
If no one is around you.
Say baby, I love you.
We'll see.
Sorry, go ahead.
We'll see. We'll see what she decides to do with those bones. You know, I think bones. I think there are definite plans to. I don't know if it's going to be adding to the harp. Maybe making a newer one. Oh. Who knows? I just grabbed them and
maybe
just
to have. A double harp?
Ooh. Or like a
like a keytar.
What do you call those things?
Like
I was thinking a keytar, but with the two necks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like a version of that with a harp.
Yeah, if someone were to compliment Yasha, say on the road and say, "What a beautiful harp," you could be like, "Oh, these baby bones."
<You know? laughs> I love being able to see
these
Danny's
old
face
baby
all
bones.
Going, this is awful.
The only way I get through the show is I hide Danny's face so I can't see it. I'm like, no, I don't want to see it.
Side note though, I wanted to say from the last question when I was so proud of Travis, and I think we all were because we know that was kind of a
stepping out of his comfort zone.
Yeah.
It was so stepping out of his comfort zone.
It really was.
But I think that's the best, you know, because at least he was doing that, like, with me, his wife in real life. So it like, took some of that, like, awkwardness down a notch and, like, it let him, like, step into that in the game and see if he likes that sort of stuff in his D&D campaign.
Yeah.
But he was just so sweet. It was just so sweet.
Travis is a very romantic guy. A lot of people don't know this, but he's actually a very romantic dude. And I was very pleased to see just a teensy bit of that come out for the world to sort of see. You know, when he puts
asked.
I know he asked.
Oh, little so buddies.
He learned from My Henry pals. Crabgrass.
He did.
True, he did.
He learned.
He did. He learned. Ugh, I just loved it. It was just so nice to see.
It was so nice. It's going to be so sad when he breaks her heart and goes back to the corpse of Avantika. But
won't, it really, you know, will. No. But
it really will.
Jester will be dead by that point. It's fine.
Oh my goodness gracious, Laura! How dare you? Instead, answer this question. Let's talk about the statues. Jester encountered those strange divination statues and had 4 years of her precious life.
Was it four or five? Was it? Is it definitely four?
He said four or five.
Four or five.
Okay.
It wasn't ever confirmed.
Danny and I are choosing to believe on the side of hopefully four instead of five.
I went with four because I want it to only be four.
I like it. Okay.
How is she feeling about that experience and that exchange? She said it was worth it, but does she believe that?
She does believe that. But yeah, she was very shaken up from that whole experience.
Rightfully so, yeah.
One, from seeing what she saw, because I feel like that city just like leaves a mark on your brain, mm-hmm. especially seeing it as in depth as she did in that vision. But also, you know, Jester's always been very reticent to talk about her age, just because she's aware that she's perceived in a very juvenile sort of way by a lot of people. And I think she's a little insecure about that because, you know, she grew up by herself. She didn't have the social interactions and she doesn't. So she's kind of in a place that like, I'm still experiencing things. So I'm naive in a lot of ways and experienced in a lot of others. And,
they sometimes mistake inexperience with ignorance when it comes to her. I feel
exactly.
Like.
Yeah. And she's very aware of like, human emotion. She's very aware of like everything that's going on around her, but she just chooses to view it in a certain way, right? Mm. But losing those extra years felt like, oh shit, like now I'm four or five years older and I'm in this mindset. Like, what does that mean for, you know? So, yeah, I think it just kind of like hit hard of going, do I have to grow up? Do I have to suddenly become an adult about things now? I don't know. So it was just
if
those like 30 minutes afterwards or whatever in the game, the whole time I was like,
yeah,
what does this mean? What does that mean for, do I need to, you know, so.
I mean, what if Ford just wakes up and is like, who's this old fucking hag? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to kiss this.
I mean, she's closer to Ford's age now, so.
That's true, but that doesn't mean that, you know, no, I'm joking. No,
I don't know how old is Ford. I don't know how old Ford is.
He's being really shady about it, too,
I think he's probably.
He's like 15.
Yes, he's 15. That is in the lore. Ford is 15 whole years old. 1-5.
Travis went to bed, right? Laura, there's no way. We know this won't air, obviously.
I don't know how old he is. I've never even asked Travis.
I think that he has said that he looks like he's just in his early 30s. Like
early 30s, late 20s, early 30s,
yeah,
probably.
Somewhere around there.
I'm going to say 30.
Yeah, I don't know how much it ever was, but in my head, he was always 30. So I don't think that was, I don't remember if it was anything other than that, but
yeah,
that was always what he was in my brain.
Yeah.
Well, he's prime pickings for a nice cougar like Jester now.
Also, your brain does develop a lot more between the ages of, you know, like 20 and 25. Your
your
brain grows a lot.
It is true.
So I've heard.
Did the brain, when they take the years away, does your brain grow in that way?
Well, I think about the only example
we're getting
we can
a little
really,
intense here.
The only example we can really turn to is the Princess Bride, right? Because the machine, right, sucked years off of.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that? It was over here. It fell next to me. Something fell over.
Is it a ghost? Is it Molly? Yes. Is it the ghost of Molly Past?
Travis. How old is Ford? 65.
He's lying. It's full of shit. He's not 65.
Well, it was either 15.
So he's not
15?
Yeah.
Ask him if he's 15. Say, Brian believes, you told Brian he's 15. See what he says.
He says he's had Mask of Many Faces up this whole time. He's 65 years old. That's what he just said.
Oh boy.
It's all the
this is deep, you guys. You guys are getting well, the
it's all the time
we're getting for, we're getting the stuff.
Yeah.
So we're getting meat.
early 30s, he said.
Early 30s. Okay. Can we believe him now? Or do we think that the first answer that Danny? Yeah.
Danny did a dance.
Danny.
She's like,
do we assume that his first answer was the true one, 65 years old?
I trust everything that Travis Willingham ever says to me, because Travis Willingham wouldn't lie to me.
Ever.
Well, Travis,
he does not lie.
He doesn't lie to you.
Yeah,
you?
Definitely. He's a truthful Terrence.
Yes.
Oh, God. Ashley, Ashley, wash the taste of that cliche out of our mouth really with an answer with to this Travis? Question.
God, it was just set up for me right there. You have to go for another name, though, with those.
Yeah,
like
you really
naughty could. Nancy in a
yeah.
You went with truthful Terrence?
Okay, let's move on
right,
from
all
this.
All right, all right. Don't give her a hard time, okay?
I understand.
Ash.
She's been through a lot.
Ash. Ash. Men in Black, wipe our memories from what you just said with an answer to this question.
Oh, God, I wish I had one of those.
From at It's Danny Carr. Is that still your Twitter handle, Danny?
Yes. For some reason.
Yasha had some issues with the message spell that Beth sent her.
Yeah.
Resulting in some very fun walkie-talkie humor, obviously. How's yes. it been for you to dig into Yasha's humor and her sillier side after, you know, all of the Oben stuff?
Oh, it's been so fun. I mean, I think that's kind of the... You know, consistently being at the table and, you know, me as a player, I love to try to make people laugh. And, you know, it's how I get comfortable is sort of making a joke with something that may seem, you know, making fun and light in a time where maybe we're all going through a hard time. So I think with Yasha, I like those little moments of her just being silly. But I honestly, I think it's funny that Yasha doesn't know how the message spell works.
Yeah.
It's like, I think you may still be there, but I'm not quite sure. It just seemed so stupid and silly in the moment. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to ride this out, see what happens.
Love it so much. I do have to, as I did in the intro earlier last night, congratulate you both on your Video Game Award nominations.
Hey!
Laura, you very famously, I believe this was the award show, you very famously dressed up
don't mention it!
Oh my
and
then, God,
what are you doing?
Okay, so, no, but I was trying to bring up was that the Video Game Award shows hosted by, you know, the great Jeff Keighley, who always appears very tired to me, and I almost wonder if he's a great producer, he puts on this massive thing every... I almost wonder if I should take some of those hosting duties off of his plate because, you know, when he gets up there, he's very tired and, you know, I feel so bad for the guy. Every year I watch it, I go, you know what? I'm not doing anything on Thursday nights. I got nothing on TV. I got nothing going on. I got no show to host.
You should call him. You should see if he wants
him
a DM.
I don't have his number. I am blocked on social media by dozens and dozens of people in this industry. All I'm saying is, if anyone out there were to sort of do some sort of hashtag like...
please don't
do it,
you guys. Don't. Whatever he's about to say,
leave
don't
it.
Do it.
Brian Foster for VGA.
No, stop it. Don't type it at all.
Greg Miller thinks
leave
Brian Foster's the best man for the job.
Okay, no.
Or hashtag just rest Jeff, you know? Just,
no.
Because he's so
don't
busy.
Don't do any of those things.
Let
don't
me,
do any of those.
Because I would love to give an award to either my fiance or my sister. You know, I would love to go, here's your VGA. This isn't the one they're actually going to give you. They'll mail you one in a few weeks. Stop trying to get it from me. This isn't yours. You know, I would love to do that to either of you.
Yeah.
I don't want Jeff to be up on some balcony and be so tired that he's like, it's Ashley Johnson, you know, or whatever else. Let me do it, man. I'm full of energy. I host a show once a month.
Brian, I would like to thank you for solidifying us not winning the award.
Oh, yes, babe, surely thanks. No one from the committee is watching this program. If they are, can you imagine how excited they're going to be about this week's winner of Fan Art of the Week?
Hey! Fan Art of the Week! Our dad! Save us, our dad. Save us.
This week's winner was sent in just in time to save us by Ethan M. Aldrich. Ooh, it sounds very royal.
Let me see. Regal name.
M. Aldrich.
Ethan Aldrich.
Oh, that didn't sound regal at all.
Not quite.
Peaky Blinders extra.
Oh, thanks. That's a compliment for me.
You're welcome, babe. Ethan's socials, Ethan M. Aldridge's socials are at Ethan Maldridge. Let's take a look.
Oh, I love this.
You saw this. What? I love it.
I love it so.
So sweet.
Let's talk about that book that he read.
Cats and Prince is so good.
Holy
cow.
Liam O'Brien.
So good.
Talk about commitment.
I know.
Talk about.
And this beautiful art just goes so perfect.
Oh, it's
the
so
world
good.
Of men so is heavy and hard, she said. No, the princely cat proclaimed. But here across the veil, we move with lighter steps. Dance with us, child, and forget your troubles for a spell. It's so fun.
So like, I want that as a tattoo.
It's too long, babe.
But here
it's
across the veil, we move with lighter steps.
Would you do it on your neck?
Dance with us, child.
Yeah.
Forget your troubles for a
spell. I love that the... I don't know if this was intentional, but I love that the mossy stone almost looks like a world. Like he's standing
on the world. Like a map. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Maybe that is intentional.
I don't know, but it's really
I choose to say that it is, and that's why Ethan M. Aldridge won this week's fan art.
It's just so lovely. Beautiful. I love it. It's perfect.
Ethan, your mossy stones have won us over again. And as a result, you, Ethan Maldridge, have won this.
Oh, I can't wait to see what these it's going to fly out.
$100 gift card.
Whoa, look at it flying out of there.
To the Critical Role US shop.
Whoa. Will it go on my screen?
It went to you.
Oh
my God.
They're free in your house now.
I got it.
Remember, you can enter our bi-weekly contest by visiting curl.com.
Who has to do this? Shapiro?
Submit. Little Max Shapiro, my bestie friend in the whole world. Hey, Max, unblock me, man. I got a couple of texts there waiting for you whenever you get a sec. Anyway, just they're in the queue. I can press resend as soon as you just... You may not have recognized the number because it's from Milwaukee, but I use a burner and that's me.
Milwaukee.
That's me. Laura, in the battle with the ice worm, which we referenced earlier, Jester was the only one who succeeded her wisdom save against its psychotic trill.
Yes.
What was it like to be the only one standing in that fight at first and then to have your polymorph gamble work so well?
Clutch.
Terrifying.
Clizzach.
I was like, we're all gonna die. And I was hoping, I can't even remember now what polymorph is, a charisma save? Or is it a wisdom save?
It might be. I think it's a wisdom, but I could be wrong.
Is it a wisdom save?
I haven't DM'd in almost a year.
It's probably a wisdom save. Yeah, I remember. I mean, my wisdom is really high. I'm just talking out of my ass at this point because obviously I don't even know
what I was saying before.
Hopefully this works. No, I instantly thought like that's what I was going to do. That was my plan before everybody was stunned. So when everybody got stunned, I'm like, geez, Louise, I hope this works because otherwise they're all going to be frozen solid and watch me die. Yeah.
Oh my God.
That was clutch.
And then freaking Ford's armor. Why did I choose Bunny? I should have chosen Bunny Tortoise from the beginning.
Bunny was great.
But it was just so funny because that was one of those moments where we were like, oh gosh, we are not prepared. We're, this is terrible. And then it's just polymorph,
man. You gotta just figure it out. Well, actually, speaking of polymorph, Ash, Yasha's been on the receiving end of a few polymorphs lately.
Yes.
The whale, the eagle, they traveled through the snow. Does she enjoy being polymorphed, or what's that like for her?
Oh, gosh. This is good to know.
Yeah. I'm dying.
I think Yasha gets a kick out of it.
Okay.
You know, I think it's
something she's never experienced.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that Yasha has not experienced. You know, she's had a very kind of, everything is still new and exciting to her. You know, cause she had just her life in the tribe and it was, not sheltered, but, there was a lot she wasn't exposed to. So I think, you know, with things like that of just being polymorphed into an eagle or a whale, I think it's, she thinks it's kind of funny of like, oh, I'm a whale now. This is
funny.
One
more time.
So she's Santa as well. No, but I think she gets a kick out of it. You know, I think it's just funny. And
so Yasha laughs.
Yeah, I think it's just so funny and silly, and she loves it because she just loves this group of people so much and is just along for the ride.
It's so funny. I didn't ever like think about the fact that, I mean, so many of us in the Mighty Nine have like been sheltered and isolated in their childhoods.
Yeah.
Like to where we haven't gotten to experience the full like spectrum.
I know. And I think it's interesting that we all chose that.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like.
Why do you think that is? Why do you two think that is? Why do you think everyone, after the first campaign, everyone sort of gravitated towards people with those sort of anchors in that way, I guess. It seems really interesting because you guys didn't talk to each other except for maybe some of you that knew each other before, but only parts of your backstory.
Yeah, so we didn't know what everybody was choosing. We didn't know backstories at all of anybody else.
Yeah, not at all.
I guess what I want to know is just like what psychologically is so fucked up about you between the two campaigns that you all have decided. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
I know there are a lot of similarities that are pretty interesting that we all decided
Why
that.
Why did we all do that?
Yeah.
What I think is interesting is the similarities between characters between campaign one and campaign two. Like even though all the characters are vastly different from each other, there's these weird through lines that make you go, what's our underlying issues that cause us to choose these same sort of things?
Oh, you mean like how Vax was like the jovial one of the group, and then now Caleb is like the jovial
the
one
jovial
of the group
one.
Who's always just like cheering everyone up and, you know.
Right, and how, like, I feel like both Vex and Jester are, like, have, like, masks up all the time of, like, not wanting to let other people see what their insecurities are or their weaknesses are. They have to put up a front.
Do you feel like there is, if you could choose one of the characters that you're closest to, do you feel like there's one where you're like, oh, I feel like I'm more like this one? Because I feel like Vex and Jester are so different.
Yeah. Honestly, I feel like they're two halves of the same because I don't know. I see myself in both of them, obviously, because
For different different traits, though, because I can see that too, being someone that's, you know, what I consider to be within the yardage I'm allowed, a close friend of yours.
Yeah.
But I can see traits of both because you see like the very bargainy and the very sort of I'm gonna
badass.
I'm going to use my wit and my smarts to sort of like negotiate different types of situations, not just at the flea market, but you're that way with other stuff too. But then at the same time, you're also very open to what other people are feeling and thinking and navigating sort of those things like Jester is, where it's like, I'm a little bit of a sponge in a certain way, but I take that stuff in and I translate it through my own experience. But at the same time, what you end up putting out, although it comes across as very innocent and sometimes a naive response, it is a very honest and pure thing at the same time, because it's what she truly believes, like, is the best outcome, if that makes sense.
Right, yeah.
It'll be like $150 mm-hmm. for this therapy session.
Yeah.
We'll call it a...
Worth it. But I mean, it's Yasha and Pike are the same way. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Very.
I see you strongly in both of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's.
I definitely feel a little closer to Yasha, but I don't know if that's because I'm playing her now, you know, and it's just current. But I think, right. Yeah, it's just, it's multiple sides, I guess. So role-playing is a funny thing of what comes out and you're like, I feel exposed.
I know, it's weird. It's weird. The parts
it's in character.
Ourselves.
This is all a character.
Yeah, this isn't real. It's just something I'm making up right now.
Yeah. It is interesting, the stuff that we almost subconsciously choose to drop into our characters, and then later as they develop and those things are sort of brought to the forefront, or we're forced to sort of deal with the fact that we did include this character trait in our character. It's like, I have, you know, in my limited experience, found myself going like, ooh, why did I put that in there? Now I have to like think about that shit. Like, but I guess I put it in there for a reason. So it's good that I do think about it. And it's good that I, you know, we've talked a lot about that, how D&D can really be a way to help you deal with a lot of issues outside of a game and stuff like that. And I think that's sort of a miniature way that that ends up happening.
Mm-hmm. And also to, you know, exemplify the traits that you maybe want to have, you know?
Or you're not confident doing in real life, so you test them out in the game environment, and that helps you test them out in real life.
Sure.
For sure. Yeah. Like my sword skills, you know? Like I'm never comfortable just going into Walmart and being like, it's all the balloons and shit.
It's funny because one of the first shows I ever worked on was Fruits Basket. This like an anime, and it is adorable and wonderful. And I've always said that Toru is one of my favorite characters that I ever played, because she's this super positive person, and it was everything that I wanted to be able to be. She always saw the best in people. And I didn't realize how much of like that idealism I put into Jester until I've been coming back and we've been re-recording the new version of Fruits Basket. And I go in and I do recording sessions, and I'm like, oh my God, she's like Jester in so many ways, but like really pure in the ways that Jester draws dicks. You know, she goes to the extreme, but but like so many traits are so similar. And I hadn't realized that Toru character had like stuck in my brain so hard all these years.
That's so interesting. Are you worried about any sort of litigation? Because of
they're very different. They're very different, but the positivity is
no. I know what
so
you mean.
Similar.
I know what you mean. You know? What you mean. I know what
the
you mean.
Empathy.
Yes. Yeah. The empathy is the complete lack of what I'm seeing in Danny's eyes right now as she looks at me. For both of you, Danny, it doesn't matter the kind of makeup you put on. I could still tell when you're sucking my soul out of my body.
I didn't how are to any of you
just side note though, Danny, you've been
serving some looks, huge looks.
During
Thanksgiving
talks.
Level looks of portions.
Every time I see the episode, I'm always like,
it's the only
this is great, you look great.
It's my makeup right now is like super messed up on my eye because I've been like crying
from my jokes.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, because you guys have been so like sweet and introspective, and I've like been a little teary. But I thank you. It's the only time that I look nice now.
Yes, I understand. Yeah,
same. Ash this morning was like, "We're filming talks night, right?" I was like, "Yeah." She's like, "So that means you'll shower because it's a talks night."
Well, clearly, you didn't.
And I putting on makeup takes longer.
Huh?
Yes. You know, you lose, and you're like, oh, this is
a skill.
The worst. It's a skill that.
Well, she also has to do mine too, which takes,
so
you know,
hard.
True. I just turned 53. Yeah.
Your highlighter looks fabulous.
Yeah, so good, babe. So babe, good.
Let me ask you guys a question. give you two choices for this Thanksgiving. Number one.
Oh my God, it's so 80s.
Hey.
It's so long.
Do you want to?
You look like you belong in a Take On Me video.
Do you
yes.
Take a ride in my Ferrari.
Wow.
Hey, but for both of you, we have to finish the show. We have to finish the show. I have a turkey. I have a turkey to base.
We have to finish this show.
I have a turkey to base.
We got
to
do this.
And then I have a Thanksgiving turkey to get ready. How are Jester and Yasha, played brilliantly most recently by you, Laura and Ashley, dealing with Vess's death and the consequences they might face from the Cerberus assembly? Because are they nervous about what awaits them in the Empire? Neither one is a citizen, but both have ties to the country with the Nine. So are you nervous? What's that? How are you feeling?
Okay, so for Yasha, I'm going to try to think of a way to explain this, but also still be able to keep some things for myself in case this comes up in game. Since Yasha was a bit of a... didn't belong to either side, that's not necessarily something that is a huge concern to her. It's more so, I want to make sure my friends and my found family are okay and happy and safe and healthy and whatever the outcome, as long as they're happy and good with it, then she is too.
Oh.
Laura's. Yeah, Jester's kind of the same way. Yeah, like up until this, yeah, I mean.
Up until this what?
Like up until this point, she's been kind of just along for the ride as far as like this Vestaragna, like the whole Isilcross storyline, because Jester was like, I don't know, like I don't have this greater vision like Caleb and Beau always talk about of like bringing peace between Jor-Hus and... of the Empire and the dynasty. Like, I don't really care. Like, Jester doesn't really care about all that stuff. Like,
yeah, they care for reasons.
She cares about her
friends.
Yeah. She cares about the people. Yeah. So it's not until, I mean, obviously I want the world to be good, but you know, and it hasn't been until like the vision, honestly, that vision with, it's a little off subject of what you asked, Brian, but, the circle and seeing the vision from the statues that she like fully went, oh God, we have to stop this. If this thing gets here, if they succeed, like this could mean the end for everything. Not just this war between the Empire and the dynasty. This could like, this ends people. This ends society again.
This feels bigger than just the Empire and the dynasty.
Yeah,
it's like, the old Thanos snap, you know.
Yeah. But with Vess, I think for Yasha, it's very just like, well, I don't know, somebody else died. Used to that. But yeah, I think it's more. I mean, seems more of a thing for maybe Beau and Caleb. But yeah, I love that Jester and Yasha are like, well, we'll see what happens.
Have fun storming the castle.
Yeah.
Hope we don't go to jail for this, you guys. Oh, well. But that would be an adventure.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, we got to wrap up, but I want to talk about, I'm having so much fun.
Me too. People.
People. I know. It's so nice to see people. It's great to see you too, Ash. You look so wonderful.
Oh, thanks.
You do look really lovely.
I haven't seen you
since
dinner.
You know, I put on a little lipstick.
I like it. I got a little bit on myself. And a little bit here, and a little bit here, and a little bit... For both of you. So we stay within Twitch guidelines after being DMCA. Caduceus asked about the goals of the party. What do you think Jester and Yasha... Why do you think Jester and Yasha keep going into these ruins just to save the world? Or do they hope that they can somehow return their friend to them?
I mean, that's kind of what I touched on in the last question is that, like, up until this point, it's been just, okay, well, maybe we can get Molly back, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe if we keep doing this, that'll happen. And everybody else is gung-ho about doing this, so I'll be here and I'll support them. But now that that vision has come to her, it's more dire.
Mm.
Now it's like, we have to do this. We have to complete this. We have to beat them and keep them from doing that.
Yeah. I think for Yasha, it's just kind of going with the flow. I think that was a big turning point for Jester and having a vision like that, where it's like, oh shit, this could be very bad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Yasha's kind of like, well, I'll go with the flow, see what happens. But also there's so much curiosity because this place is, I mean, she's never seen anything like it. But mostly, I think, mostly for Yasha, it's getting her friend back. But we don't even know
how that's going
to hold. We don't know how that's going to go.
I genuinely don't know.
I don't either.
How that's going to go. I don't know what Matt.
All I know is that he is
doing.
Spent, he has spent
I don't either. I don't either.
Thinking about it. You know, he
I
has.
Know.
You know, he has.
I know. I can't wait to know. But at the same time, I'm just like, I want to figure it out myself.
You can't.
But I can't.
I don't think you'll be able to. There's no way that there. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Go ahead, Laura.
I think Aeor is like. I think Aeor was what we said. I think it's like part of Aeor has been dimensioned away, is stuck in the astral plane, and is turned into this being in and of itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'm not going to share my thoughts because I'm usually so accurate the fans will be upset because they know that I...
Oh, it would be like a spoiler?
No, yeah. they know that like the show has to be pre-written. It's too brilliant. The only person that could write something that's brilliant is Ryan. He's obviously the writer. And then Matt, you know, just takes the credit because he's the beautiful one. So he needs to be the face of the whole thing, you know. But like, anyway, that is all the time we have for tonight. I'm being told that I am giving away a little bit too much information. I would like to thank Laura, Ashley,
hey.
Danny. I would especially like to, as the last show of 2020, thank our crew for adapting and completely figuring out how to make a number of shows work in this crazy new world we're living in. And they should not go unnoticed and unappreciated for making the impossible possible, from this show to every single Off the Ranch, you know, doing Critical Role in the fucking crazy COVID restrictions. Thank you so much. And thank you all for being patient with us as we've taken weeks off and had to just sort of like adjust to the new world. So thank you. We love you. I've been the future host of the Video Game Awards. please, please, please have safe and healthy holidays. Don't forget to love each other. Don't worry. It's almost the next Thursday that Critical Role will be airing on. Yeah, I don't know if it's almost, but at some point on a Thursday coming up soon, there will be a Critical Role, and I want you to not wait for that moment. I mean, you'll have to wait.
Live your life.
Live your life.
Until
that moment, don't forget to love each other, and just don't worry. Even if it's not almost Thursday, don't worry.
If only it were that easy.
If only it were that easy. Good night, everyone, and good luck.
Wait, spin continue around. Your send
keep
off,
spinning.
Babe.
Keep spinning.
Oh, he's doing the spin.
He's just spinning.
There we go. You got it.
Good luck,
just a
Brian.
Little bit
bye.
More.
Bye, Brian.
You're halfway there. We got it.
It's been fun.
Hey, you got to do your send off.
What's my send off?
I thought he did do the send off.
Stay turnt, my friends.
Oh.
Don't forget to love each other. Don't worry, it's almost Thursday. What's the rest?
Okay, well, I guess maybe I missed it all because it was
so right. long, Ashley.
So. It was so you, long. It was
just so long.
All right, we love you.
Good night, my love.
Goodbye, my love.
Good night, my love.
What's Ford taste like?
Thank you for listening to Talks Machina on the Critical Role Podcast Network. If you like this episode, please consider supporting us by rating and reviewing this podcast on whatever podcasting app you're using. Talks Machina airs every other Tuesday at twitch.tv/Critical Role. Until next time.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.